It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Remember, at UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game. From sports injuries to joint replacement, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, we will talk with Tom Clark, noted golf course architect, not from the state of Arkansas, but is now in the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame, has designed several courses throughout the state. You'll hear about that and much more after the break.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Tom Clark, a member of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, also a past president of that association, is a partner of Alt Clark & Associates, based in Marshall, Virginia. Over the course of his career, he has completed nearly 100 new courses as a project architect and more than 250 remodeling projects. He has worked all over the country and all over the world, with some of his projects taking him to Korea, Ireland, South Africa, Canada, and Mexico. A graduate of Penn State, he is now in the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame. He was a member of the 2024 class. On the tee, Tom Clark.
Mr. Clark, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club?
Well, I was very fortunate to live on a street in outside of Philadelphia, a little town called Broomall. And on that street was Joe Capella, who was the golf professional at Aramic Country Club. So my father was an amateur golfer, not much of one, but literally he saw me out playing on the lawn one day, and he talked to my dad, and he said, "I got a bunch of old clubs. I'll cut them down for Tommy."
Mm-hmm.
And across the street from me was a family called the Soonies. And Mr. Sooney was a superintendent, and he was an assistant over Marion Golf Course. So I kind of lived in a golfing environment. And as a young boy, Marion had two courses, and they weren't far away. So we would ride our bikes down and stash them in the woods. And we would, you know, run up the hill with a couple of clubs, and we would play a three-hole loop. And this was on the, I think, the famous course is the East. Or the
East.
West. So we were on the West course. And literally, you know, that's the first time I found, like, wow, a Titleist golf ball. And, you know, that we found balls in the woods, used those. And we'd play this little three-hole loop until the superintendent showed up and chased us off.
Did you know the prestige of the golf course that you were on?
I just knew it was a golf course and we were playing it for free.
So you played golf in high school?
Yes.
And what was that like?
Playing the other two people who, on my 50th reunion, I met them both again. Andy Thompson actually went on and played on the mini tour and was pretty successful. So, you know, he basically stuck with the golf. And when I started doing remodeling up in the Philadelphia area where my mom still lived, my dad had passed. He was a, you know, club president at Overbrook. And he basically hired me to redo their golf course. Well, one thing leads to another. And then Radnor Valley, where I used to valet park cars, hired me to redo their course. And we did like four other courses in the immediate area. It's just the way it happened here in Arkansas, meaning once you get established in a region and people see your work, other people say, wow, you know, we would like to build a course and we'd like to hire Mr. Clark, or, you know, we want to remodel our course and, you know, it looks like he does good work. Because they're just, in my era, there was a number of golf course architects, but there just weren't that many.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nobody in Arkansas. And literally, as I said, one thing spread to another. But, you know, what really kicked off my profession was my very first trip out here with Mr. Auld, who was my mentor. He was getting up there in years. And he didn't want to travel that much. He said, I want to introduce you because you might be taking over some of these jobs. So our first meeting was up in Bentonville, Arkansas with
Bella Vista
Senior.
Yeah.
And Mr. Cooper wanted to talk to us about two new courses. Now, Mr. Auld had already done the south course at Cherokee Village. He had done the first or the second course at Bella Vista. The first course was done by Joe Finger. And according to, I'll call him Ed now, he did the bunkering. Mr. Finger didn't do it for some reason. And then he did DeSoto down here at Hot Springs. So Mr. Cooper was all excited, and we met for breakfast. And I have to tell you this story. We're joined by a couple, and they come down, sit down, and have breakfast. So I excuse myself for a moment to use the facilities, and I'm going down the hall, and I happen to see a picture of the couple, and I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. So there's a little break in the action, and I elbowed Mr. Alt, and I said, so who are these folks? He said, well, this guy owns a hardware store, and Mr. Cooper's a good friend of him. So that was my introduction to Sam and Helen Walton.
Oh, my gosh.
So they continue to have breakfast year after year, and you know, as I said, that was quite an interesting beginning because over the years I started to meet their children.
How about that?
Running around, you know, on the courses up at, you know, hunting and doing all kinds of things in Bella Vista.
Well, what piqued your interest into golf course architecture when you were at Penn State?
Absolutely. We were fortunate to have a very good landscape architecture instructor. He actually did a exchange program. I studied in Portugal for a semester, and he took us over there, and we traveled all through Europe. But he knew a lot of people, and he got two architects. They were partners, Jeff Cornish and Bill Robinson. Bill Robinson had graduated several years before me at Penn State, and they tried to teach us how to integrate home sites and golf courses. First, you know, we were taught the basic rooting principles of a golf course, you know, about the highs and lows and the drainage and, you know, the, you know, I guess the distances. Back then it was 250 yards from the back tees. And I just kind of got fascinated because I had played golf. Now, Mr. Cornish went back to the office after 2 days and Bill stayed the whole week. So he would be in our design studio at night and I would go up there, look over his shoulder, and he would be sketching greens and doing grading plans. And I finally said, Bill, how do you get into this profession? He said, Well, Tom, you either are born into it, like the son of a golf architect like Reese and Bobby Jones, or you luck into it like he did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote every, I guess, architect that was in the back of a Golfdom magazine. There were only about 15 back then. I got a lot of responses, but no real, let's come up for an interview.
Right.
And I told my professor I was most interested. Well, he had worked with Ed Ault up at a course called Toff Trees, which was a home site development that was built up around Penn State. And Ed called him one day and said, look, my only employee has left me. And
I'm looking for someone.
Desperately. So I went down and interviewed, and he offered me a whopping $6,000 starter salary. And I looked him straight in the eye and said, I didn't go to college for 5 years for $6,000. He said, well, let's make it nine. And I'm like, wow, what a great negotiator I am. So I said, well, I'll see you about, you know, a month from now, because graduation was in 2 weeks. He said, no, you're going to be here the day after you graduate. He said, I got work for you. So, as I said, needless to say, I was there, graduated on Saturday, drove down Sunday, and went to work Monday morning. And I was in the office for 2 years. And I kept saying, I'm not learning anything.
Right. You want to be out
plans.
On
yeah,
the
because
property.
I don't even know what they look like.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I can do grading plans and figure out T's. And, you know, he was not much of a artiste, meaning I did all the drawing portions. And I changed the greens. He used to have spot elevations to contours because I could understand it better, and the contractors, I think, could. So finally, his son came to join us. Finally, we both got out of the office with him. And as I said, our first trip, you know, he takes me to, of all places, Bentonville, Arkansas. Well, I'll give you a brief story. The one course Mr. Cooper wanted to do was up at Bella Vista, and Mr. Ault had done the first course, and he wanted to split that up into two more courses, Kingswood and Berksdale. So, you know, we got our marching orders there. Then he came back and said, I want something really special. You've done DeSoto, it's great, but I want something at Cortez that's going to be out of this world. I want waterfalls. I want, you know, basically recirculating streams. You know, something that would make Donald Trump proud today. But, yeah, I threw in, how about an island green? And this is long before Sawgrass.
Before Pete Dye.
Long before, meaning, and it was, there was an island green at Ponte Vedra for years before,
sure,
know, the one at TPC. But what I meant was one we could move around. So Mr. Ault, being an ex-engineer, we got back to the drawing board, and Mr. Cooper said, basically, I don't have a budget for this, so show me what you got. Well, I started calling the Arkansas River Authority, trying to find some barges that were derelict, and you know how much it would be to ship them up here. We were going to weld them together, tie them together, fill them with dirt, and then sand for the
mm-hmm.
green cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a three-point system where we could move this green around with cables. And then we had floating docks where you could take it out to 150 or back to 100. Not move it daily, but maybe once a week you change the green. And then I had these waterfalls and recirculating streams, so we came up and presented this. Well, Mr. Cooper said, well, that looks great. How much? And we gave him an estimate, and he said, well, I don't think we're going to be doing that. So the eighth hole at Cortez is kind of a demand carryover water now, and it's on dry ground.
But that's the one that you had planned to be a moving green.
Yeah, and it was basically years later, Coeur d'Alene up there in Idaho.
Idaho, actually, yeah.
They did this, you know, mobile island, and then you take a boat out to it, and I played that. And it's a gimmick, but, man, people flock to it.
That's the thing. It's something that draws golfers to
exactly.
it because it's not the norm, right?
This is, you know, what is happening in our industry as a whole. Obviously look at golf magazines, and photographers have made a lot of people's careers. And it's almost like the more bizarre the golf course, the more people are attracted to it. Now, it doesn't make it sustainable. Basically, a lot of these courses are impossible to maintain at a realistic budget, but they will get an immediate flush of golfers. Mm-hmm. And how long that lasts, I can't tell you, because there were two courses built in my now home state of Virginia and by Mike Strantz, who was a brilliant architect. But they were so hard to maintain and so hard to play that they started falling on hard times because people, you know, don't want to get beat up day in and day out. So they started softening them. And then, of course, we had our downturn in the golf economy, and both of them went up for sale. And, you know, they're not doing particularly well now. Mm. I mean, it's just they had their, I guess, day in the sun.
They had their time, yeah. When you look at the courses that you have done here inside the state of Arkansas, and we're recording this in the Village, Granada, fantastic golf course. One that I would like to draw attention to the listeners, though, is the one in Mountain Home, Big Creek. I think it is phenomenal.
Well, that was probably because of my introduction to Mr. Cooper and then John the second and John the third. I kept doing golf courses for the Coopers, and that alone was a miracle in some respects that, you know, they continued to use me. One year they employed a different accountant. I called him a bean counter. And he calls me up one day and says, we are going to do four courses next year. You've been wonderful to us, Tom, but could you recommend some other architects?
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty quick on my feet, and I basically said, well, how about Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Tom Fazio? Because I knew every one of them charged $1 million for a golf course.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, after he got their proposals back, he called and said, you got all four jobs, Tom. And hence, you know, off I went. So I think the story actually up in Mountain Home was Lang Zimmerman had approached Cooper to see if they might be interested in doing the development. They had cobbled together like 1,000 acres. But they went up there and said, it's too small for us. I mean, look at this. It's like 30,000 acres now.
Right.
And I don't know what Bella Vista is. It's probably in the 20s. But they obviously bought these large tracts of land, not all at once necessarily, but they cobbled it together from warehouse or whatever. And then, but they said, we do use an architect, and his name's Tom Clark. So I got a call from Lang, and I went up and interviewed. Walked around the property and sent him a proposal. And next thing, we're under construction. And I had found a firm up in Canada, of all places. I'd worked at Hamilton Golf and Country Club for years up there, and they had done a lot of the work, and they kept saying, you know, we want to go a little further south, you know, where it's warmer. So I brought them to Pennsylvania and Virginia Beach, and then I said, how would you like to go to Arkansas? And they came out, and their name of the company is Turf Drain International. And they really now concentrate just on remodeling, but they built that golf course, and it was not easy because it was a rock pile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we solid-sodded, you know, the fairways to zoysia.
I love zoysia grass.
Yep. Well, as I said, that's what Diamante is here. Mm-hmm. And consequently, it's, you know, it's expensive because you have to sod it. I mean, the PGA Tour, of all people, when we did a course in Washington called Avenel, I talked them into zoysia. They said, absolutely, this is Dean Beeman, because he used to practice off it at one of the turf nurseries. So he said, that's fine, we'll sprig it. Well, zoysia you can sprig, but it takes 3 years to grow in. So they had a tournament called the Chrysler Cup, where the legends of golf, you know, this is back in the days of Julius Boros and Gary Player and, you know, Nicklaus were there and Palmer was there and all these Europeans. And they were so complimentary of the course. It was great because they were playing on ryegrass more than they were playing on zoysia. But the long and short of it is that, you know, 2 years later they have the tournament and they're still playing. It's not grown in yet. And good old Greg Norman takes a double bogey on this little par three, and said they ought to blow this up. Well, people thought it was the whole course. It was the hole that he couldn't seem to par. And Tom Kite won the tournament because he birdied it twice and parred it the other 2 days.
How many total courses do you know off the top of your head you've designed?
I'm up to about 125 right now.
All over the country?
All over the country, all over the world.
Furthest away from here?
Probably Korea. Yeah.
Wow.
But as I said, I was basically helping a writer do an article, starting with et al., and then myself and Brian, and then the people we put into the industry just a few weeks ago. And he said, how many states have you worked in? I said, we started rattling them off, and I said, it turned out to be 40.
Wow.
So we've gotten around the United States, and we did a lot of, I guess, international travel, not always for, basically successful new construction. We laid out courses in Spain and Montenegro and all the places, Ireland. They didn't all get built, but the one in Korea did.
What does it mean to you, Tom, to be inducted into the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame?
Well, I was, I quoted as it was dizzy, but, I was shocked because, as an architect, certain people seek fame and fortune. I was basically just happy to keep working. I mean, I didn't ever expect to be a boss. And then when, we formed All Clark and Associates, I was the boss, but I still wanted to be the architect. So every one of our associates, one of us, Brian or myself, had to, or Ed when he was alive, had to go with the associate for the field visits. Not every one, but most of them. And then, literally, Issa said, 1 year I had 8 courses alone under construction. And I was just kept my suitcase packed.
I was going to say, you were on the road
4 days a week. Yeah. And, that wasn't necessarily good for the home life. And basically, that was 1999. The next year, I think, the firm had 23 courses that year. Then it was 14, then it was 8, then it was 4, then it was 2. And the writing on the wall was we were in a downswing in the economy. And, we had built up our staff to 11 people, including administration. But we actually, unfortunately, had to start letting people go.
Yeah.
Some of which stayed in the industry. Others went into landscape architectures. Others went into environmental studies. But there's, four of them that stayed in golf architecture and made a good living on their own. So I'm happy. There are three of them are members of the American Society of Golf Architects. At one time, all four were, but one of them dropped out. So I put a lot of people in this business, which is gratifying.
But being in the ASGA Hall of Fame, is that like the icing on top of the cake?
It certainly is, because what I was going to say earlier, so many of these courses are home site developments. And I, was shocked, for instance, like when Diamani, was named the best course in the state. Well, as I said, then houses start getting built. And, it loses its overall appeal to the Raiders. They love, the elotion. There's no houses. They, the blessings, things like that. And, of course, you can't compete necessarily against those courses. They're wonderful courses. And, as I said, Isabel then kind of moved up, the ladder also. And then, one of my biggest thrills is the fact I don't really know that there's any other architects in the Hall of Fame here, which is a real amazing thing. It's mainly players and, people that have a background in, the administration of golf or whatever. So I'm thrilled to have done that many courses in Arkansas. And as I said, there's Mountain Ranch, there's Thunder Bayou, there's all over the state, you know, and of course up in Bella Vista, that corner, you know, it just continued to grow.
There's a lot. There's a lot of them. Best golf course you've ever played or best one you've designed in your mind?
It's funny you should say that because, you know, the very first year I became a member of the American Society of Golf Architects was 48 years ago, and our conference was held in the Monterey Peninsula. And the very first course I played was Cypress Point.
Ah, very nice.
And I think to this day I've got to play it twice more. I think it's my favorite golf course. I mean, it's just marvelously designed, and of course you can't beat the location. You know, the ambiance, the variety of holes, all the way till you get to 18.
The views.
Yeah.
You and three others, living or deceased, you would like to play a round of golf with. Who would they be?
I would bring my father back for that. My father was a very humble man. I was 20 years old before I found out he was an Olympian. My mother is down in...
What sport?
He was a paired shell. He was a rower. He and my uncle were twin brothers, and they rowed in the 1932 Olympics. And they were eight-time national champions. And I knew nothing about this. So, you know, I'm 20 years old. My mom pulls up, "Do you want your dad's T-shirt?" I thought it was a Budweiser shirt. And I said, "I don't think it'll fit." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, this is an Olympic jersey." My mother never talked about it. And then out come the books from the Undead Barge Club. You know, I've always been intrigued by Bobby Jones. I just, you know, his subtle swing. And obviously I was supposed to play a round of golf with Jack Nicklaus one day. And because I was president back in 92, and he was at the conference that year, and I got a call from one of his associates, said, "You're playing with a big guy." I'm like, "Who's the big guy?" I said, "Jack." And I'm like, "Oh." So I was a nervous Nelly all through, you know, the days leading up to it. But what happens? Jack gets all his group together who were members, said, "We're flying to somewhere in Europe tonight."
Oh, no.
So I was fortunate because I played with Steve Smyers, who played for Florida. He was a great golfer. And Pete Dye, I played a lot with. He was there. And I had one of my worst rounds.
Oh, no.
So I don't think it would have been much fun, you know, for Jack that day.
Man.
But as I said, I might have risen to the occasion.
I'm sure you would have. Well, Mr. Clark, thanks so much for your time, and congratulations again on going into the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you so much, because it means so much to me.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Remember, when you need an overnight place to stay, go to bphotels.com, check out their great lineups of hotels, find one near where you are going to go, and book it. That's all you have to do. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. And also, remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more
and I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.